Reading from the Srinarda Bhakti Sutras, X69. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kirti Kurvanti Tirthani. Sukarmi Kurvanti Karmani. Satshastri Kurvanti Shastani. The association, their association makes holy places holy, works auspicious, and the scriptures authoritative. Purport. The Tirtha is a place made sacred because the Supreme Lord performed his pastimes there. For example, Vrindavan is sacred because Sri Krishna spent his youth there. Navadvip, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his Sankirtan movement there. Places like Dhruvagat and Naimasaranya, where Mahajans performed devotional service, are also Tirthas. Devotees like to reside in Tirthas and perform their bhajan there. The pilgrims seek purification. Seeking purification, go to bathe in the sacred rivers flowing through the sacred sites. But the Tirthas become burdened by the sins of visiting pilgrims, who sometimes commit new sins even while traveling on pilgrimage. In all the religions of the world, commercialism tends to spring up and pollute the famous shrines. Because of this, the Gaudiya Vaishnav Acharya Narottam Das Thakur stated that in the Kali Yuga, going on pilgrimage creates bewilderment. Srila Prabhupada writes, in India it is still a practice that many advanced transcendentalists give up their family lives and go to Vrindavan to live there alone and engage hearing and chanting holy pastimes of the Lord. This system is recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan followed it. But at the present moment, many karmis and suitor devotees have overcrowded the holy place of Vrindavan just to imitate the process recommended by Sukadeva Goswami. Krishna Book, page 881. Om Gyana Jamarandasya Gyanam Jana Shalakaya Daksur Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Napitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Sapadantikam Manshakalpa Turu Grishcha Vipashindu Vaedicha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, greetings from the Sun Falls. I just came up from New York City today. And I feel it. Just the driving, when you drive for 2.5-3 hours, you know, that kind of movement is artificial. And the external environment affects the internal environment, affects the mind, and that movement is the motive passion. So it certainly makes it harder to have clarity of thought. now we have a verse about Vrindavan, which is kind of inspiring to me, because after this kind of traveling and the preaching, the teaching, I've never seen this type of opportunity, actually, since I've become a devotee. You know, we had that Lotus Festival on Saturday, and it was a marvelous festival. I'm particularly sensitive that things are organized properly, and it was absolutely just wonderfully organized, and lotus flowers imported from India. Somehow you can get them in the York cheaply fresh, practically in the little pool, and offering the flowers to everyone, everyone in the place online. And you know, class, I mean, my place was packed, standing room only. And half the people weren't people with convictions that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. It's people from New York. How pleased with Prabhupada seeing and hearing directly. I was speaking directly about Krishna. I was talking about Brahma Vimohan Lila, but more than that, I was talking about the reasonability of the personal aspect of God. And that's Prabhupada's mission. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyatya Desha Tarne. And to be part of that, to help to clarify the proper conception of the absolute reality, and to oppose the Shunyavadi Nirvishesha. And I began that class just as I began one class in Rutgers. Professor Brian had me teach his class on Hinduism, Hindu philosophy, and they have to study Ramanuja. And the chapter that the students were reading was about Vaikuntha. Spiritual world filled with such variety and filled with such life. I just asked them the simple question: if you were God and you would compose or you could construct an ultimate existence, what would it be like? Would it have people? Would it have relationships? Would it have beauty? Think about it. It's really a stretch of the mind, according to our own frame of reference, to think that the ultimate reality will be amorphous, formless, nirguna Brahman, without any qualities, without love, actually. Love requires distinction. So this beautiful conception of the absolute reality of unified consciousness, non-dual consciousness, inclusive consciousness, that has different potencies that are of the same substance ultimately, but move for the purpose of love, is quite a wonderful conception. Quite a wonderful conception. So to share that was wonderful. And then last night, I gave a class. Rangi, it was taped. The team will send it to me. Didn't know exactly where I thought I was going, but I was explaining the freshness of Krishna Katha, the dynamicism of Krishna Katha. And it's not just an intellectual process. It's a message you understand, but the message is Krishna, so it's an experience of God. Not just an intellectual understanding. And people who study the Shastras, they understand that and they experience that. So I spoke about that. And my good friend Jan from high school, who initially came to Krishna consciousness with me, but at that time it didn't seem to be his path. He's, he's coming every Tuesday now, whether I'm speaking or not, and really wrote me a letter how much he appreciated the class, which just shows you that we have the philosophy, we have the life. We just have to present it in an appropriate way that doesn't impose obstacles to people's understanding of what we give. And when it is, people really it's just such a comfortable thing. And what people are looking for more than anything else, and some people wrote about this when they described the festival, the classes, the class people appreciated. The kirtans people appreciated. The deity worship and the festival and the rituals were beautiful. Kirtan was wonderful. But more than that, what they appreciate is something that's unified on a principle greater than themselves, just like the hands of the body are unified on a principle higher than itself. They're part of something, and what they're part of dictates what the needs are of everything, including the parts. So when you have that egoless conception by centering it on Krishna, everybody was centered on service. When you remove the veil of ego, at least you're not acting on that platform. It creates a community of love that everyone is looking for. And I'm happy to be part of something like that. And I pray that it can be a prototype for how Krishna consciousness should be spread. But now the verse, it's about Sangha. And how Sangha is what makes holy places holy, what makes work auspicious and the scriptures into scriptures. The holy makes scriptures into scriptures. Acharya Purusho Veda. Without the Acharya, they're not relevant. And it's so clear. I mean, so many editions were there of Bhagavad Gita, but without the holy, without the Sangha of the advanced souls, the Shastra doesn't turn into Shastra. It reflects your own mind, or reflects the unqualified mind of someone who is presenting it. Acharya Purusho Veda. Yasya Deve Parabhaktir Yata Deve Tatagoro. One who has implicit faith in the Supreme Lord and the spiritual masters, the imports of the Vedas are to be revealed. The imports are there, but they're revealed to a person who has positioned themselves to view it in the proper way. And that position comes from following the Acharya. Scriptures tell us to surrender to God. Unless you do that in relationship to someone who's surrendered unto God, you will not look for the message that is there. It's just as simple as that. You won't see it. You won't look for it. Nor will it be revealed Because real Shastra is Shabda Brahman. It's very personal. It's revelatory in relationship. So Prabhupada, who loved Krishna and was surrendered to Krishna, could make the Bhagavad Gita a very relevant text, not just an intellectual exercise, but a text by which one guides his life or her life and transforms in a way that one can get deeper and deeper into that message of the Shastra. Tadjyanartam sugurum eva bhigache. Therefore, one has to surrender. The teacher of a bhigache, it's imperative to get the depth that one wants. And to not filter the message through our own individual attachments. It's kind of almost interesting in that way. Sometimes a friend can see us more clearly than ourselves. Although the friend may have attachments, doesn't have the attachments that we have when the message speaks to us. So we were had bhakti described. Now in this section, which started with verse 67, kind of how to recognize, there's going to be seven verses how to recognize that devotee. First thing is they must be single-minded. Ekantina. Principal thing is that they're single-minded. They're not bhushaka, many-minded. They surrender to the one, not the many. Or they surrender to the many in relationship to the one. They surrender to the one. The one what? The one absolute truth. And in surrendering to the one absolute truth, they're the broadest-minded people. Because they can see that truth everywhere. And again, you can't repeat this too many times, even though I always repeat it. It is dedication. It is to serve Krishna. It is to follow the will and inspiration of the desire of that absolute reality. And that desire of the absolute reality is that we do what's best for ourselves to realize the absolute truth. And therefore, surrender may mean I've got to get married. Surrender may mean I have to renounce the world. What's one man's food is another man's poison. But the devotee, there's a definition Pradyumna gave from Samacharya, Lakshmi Shingari play. Bhakti means to make oneself available. Bhakti means to make oneself available. What is available to what? To the will of the absolute truth. Beyond our individual false ego, what we want independent of that truth. There's an objective. The objective is to situate ourselves as surrender to God. You can do that by following attachment in some cases and following detachment in some cases. Make ourselves surrendered to God. Not independent. And when we follow the ego, we move to position ourselves in the center. How unfortunate. Because we are identifying with and trying to satisfy something that is not ourselves. So it'll be superficial and it'll be temporary. And things that are superficial and temporary can never satisfy the self. What satisfies the self is the nourishment of the self, which is that surrender to the absolute will and that service to the absolute will and that glorification to the absolute will. And that's what we should be deeply praying to Radha Krishna for. And that's what great devotees do. They're one-pointed. And when you do that, then you experience rasa, your relationship with Krishna. And then there are ecstatic symptoms. And then you become qualified to purify your families and everyone else. Or to the extent that you are one-pointed, that you have that in your heart, that you are surrendered to Guru and Krishna. Then you have influence. And this verse is continuing that influence. The influence is, that's what makes a holy place special. There's no doubt that there is potency in the Dham. But for ordinary people, there's no access to the Dham. Why do we go then? We go because there are people there that are qualified to appreciate deeply what's there. And in their association, they can reveal the Dham to you, which is the spiritual world. Vrindavan is the spiritual world. There's no doubt that Vrindavan is the spiritual world. That there's a sweetness that can be found there that is unparalleled anywhere else on this earth. Now, Vrindavan is a nice path that the Krishna Balaram tree, it's another way to get into town. I sometimes walk that path. I meet this person, a student of mine, but he went on to be in the Gurukul. He went on to become, I don't know, greatest scholar of Vrindavan under 30 or something. It's like incredible. There's a lot of things. I met him, and we passed by plastic bags, and he just kept on talking the conviction about the das. Beyond, he's saying the bags, they go beyond the das. The das of Vrindavan. I'm speaking this in a little bit of separation. Because now it's approaching like, what is it, a month, or so, a little more than a month, I'll be going to Vrindavan. Oh, Vrindavan. And it's recommended that people go there to be purified and they dump their sins. So the pure Vaishnavas purify those places. And they do. So powerful when someone is dedicated to chanting and hearing. I'm just thinking of several of my godbrothers, godsisters, nieces, nephews, thinking of those in line with Prabhupada that reside there. My meditation now is going to their lotus feet and worshiping them. And right now in my mind, I'm praying to them because they have Dham. They're connected with that energy. So we go to Vrindavan and those places to associate, and that's what I'm looking for. If the people weren't there, I don't know what I would do. Therefore, purport to purify the tirthas of the influence of the non-devotee saints, occasionally visit them. In fact, it is the presence of the saints that actually make the places holy. If one visits a tirtha and only does some shopping, takes a ritual bath there without inquiring from saintly persons, his visit is useless. And the residents of Vrindavan visit Kurukshetra. There's a beautiful verse. Yasatmabuhi gunate tudhatuke swadhi kaladhadishu bhoja ichyati Yatirtha buddhi salale nakari chit janeshu abhigeshu sa eva gopara. Very interesting verse. It mentions four objects of identification. One who identifies himself as the inert body, composed of mucus, bile, and air. So one object of identification is the body, who assumes his wife and family are permanently his own. Another object of identification, the body, now the relatives. Who thinks an earthen image of the Lord of his birth, who thinks an earthen image is worshipable. So, images, and who sees the place of pilgrimage as merely the water there. So the sacred. So there's four corresponding life attitudes. There's the, if you identify the self with the body, it's describing various limitations. If you identify the life attitude, four life attitudes. Well, the sense of self is one with the body. The sense of kinship with the family, the sense of divinity to earthen images, and the sense of the sacred, the sense of worship to images, the sense of the sacred, the tirtha, the sense of the sacred place. So there are four life attitudes. Sense of self, sense of kinship, sense of divinity, sense of sacredness. But if you limit your identity, these self conceptions, if they're limited to the body, limited to the relatives, sense of kinship is limited to the relatives. Sense of worship, limited to earthen images. Sense of the sacred, limited to a place of pilgrimage and the things there. But you never identify oneself or feel kinship or worship or visit those who are wise in spiritual truth. Then it's condemned. If you limit it to this, the
doesn't say you don't have relationship with the body, you don't have relationship to the kinship, to the deities, the pilgrimage. But if you limit your sense of identification to that, you don't identify yourself with your kinship, with your worship, with your visit, with those who are wise in spiritual truth, such a person is no better than an ass or a cow. And Gokura. Gokura means ass or a cow, or Gokura is a special type of donkey found in Afghanistan that's considered the of ignorant donkeys. I am the Gokura. So we can't limit our identity to the self with the body. I am the servant of. I'm servant of Guru. The sense of self. I'm servant of Guru. Sense of community. I am in relationship with the devotees. Sense of divinity. I worship the devotees. Sense of the sacred. I visit the devotees. What is sacred? If you limit it and don't extend it to the devotees. So many people go to pilgrimage but don't have surrendered to Guru, not surrendered to Krishna. People worship the deity but offend the devotees. You limit it. And it's condemned. More than condemned, Bhavad Vidha Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Shraham Prabhu. Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani Shwantashena Vidha Bhata. This is, I think, from Uddhava. Kapidur, my Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places of pilgrimage personified because you carry the Supreme Personality God within your heart. You turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Therefore, 26 Second Avenue is a tirtha. It's a place of pilgrimage. What is the two words for God? What's a place of pilgrimage? It's tirtha and there's kshetra. And there was a distinction, and I don't remember where I got it from, but one, I think it was Kshetra. That is, the God is worshipped. Tirtha, the God appeared. Two types of places of worship. The Supreme Lord appears, and where the Supreme Lord is worshipped intensely. 26 Second Avenue is a Tirtha. The Lord is worshipped there. Intently by Prabhupada and his mood of compassion to spread Krishna consciousness. Compassion. Compassion. You actually feel the suffering of others. The only thing is, it's not that you don't have compassion, but your real lamentation is the person's in ignorance and identifies with the body and suffers, not that they just have some disease. Yes, they're suffering. You identify with the suffering, but you're not an illusion about what the ultimate cause of that suffering is. I was visiting my mother, and I'm up early, and she sleeps late. She's a very old lady. And the phone rang early in the morning, so I picked it up not to wake her up, and it was my brother. You know, his wife of I don't know, over 30 years, very dear wife, had died recently. And on top of that, he himself is getting some chronic sickness. And, you know, I spoke to him for a half hour. But I really felt for him. I'm going to try to help him in ways. In many ways. But ultimately, I understand that
time inside wait for no man. I really felt to him. But ultimately, temporary help is temporary. The same problems are there. Keep someone very, very healthy, and at the end, they'll still be die, which is the worst thing one can imagine when you don't have some experience in faith of the soul. Even when you do, if it's not deep, talking to him and his fear of death, his wife just died, and, you know, realizing I will also die. Am I ready for that moment? Am I ready for that moment? The devotee, Prabhupada in Second Avenue, with his compassion and his worship, it becomes a place of pilgrimage. Same words, actually, in that famous verse by, I think it's Uddhava. Same verse here, Tirtha Kurvanti, same exact words. They make Kirtani, the holy place, Kurvanti, Kirti, into holy places. Shastri, Shastrani, the scriptures, Kurvanti. Shastri, into scriptures. They reveal it, they purify it. Most important thing is to associate with single-minded devotees who want to serve Krishna. When the sage Vidura went to the palace of the Kurus in Hastinapur, Yudhisthira praised him with the same words Narada used here, Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthini. Prabhupada writes, by their actions, the pure devotees of the Lord can render any place into a place of pilgrimage. And the holy places are worth the name only on their account. Such pure devotees are able to rectify the polluted atmosphere of any place. And what to speak of a holy place rendered unholy by the unquestionable actions of interested persons who try to adopt a professional life at the cost of the reputation of a holy place. In a similar passage, the sage Bhagirathi praised the river Ganges and the saints who bathe in her waters. Quote, when such pure devotees bathe in your water, the sinful reactions accumulated from other people will certainly be counteracted, for such devotees always keep in the core of their hearts the personality of God who can vanquish all sinful reactions. Bhagavatam 996. If the saints are so influential just by their presence, then we can just imagine how much their acts are worshipable and worth following. Most people's actions result in reactions, karma. The acts of great souls convert karma into bhakti. So we have so many desires, so many things we want, and they're karma. They're karma. Karma. Reactionary, selfish. Same things by the association of saintly persons become service. Whoever serves a pure devotee gains a permanent spiritual asset, even if he does so unknowingly, agyata sukriti. Although we cannot expect to equal the deeds of pure devotees, we should not shy away from trying to emulate them. As Prabhupada used to say, do as I am doing. Narada states that the best devotees add spiritual authority even to the scriptures. A striking example is the Srila Prabhupada's fulfillment of the prediction of Lord Chaitanya recorded in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Priti vitte achiyati nagaradi gram sarvacha pachara hoibe moranam. In every town and village of the world, my name, the holy name of Krishna, will be preached. This statement used to puzzle Vaishnav scholars. Some said it was to be taken allegorically. How could Malechas in Western countries take up the worship of Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya
and chant Hare Krishna in their towns and cities. But Srila Prabhupada proved the skeptics wrong. On his spiritual master's order and by Lord Chaitanya's grace, he created the Hare Krishna movement, which quickly spread until newspapers and commentators proclaimed, Krishna's chant startles London. And Hare Krishna has become a household word. Srila Prabhupada's preaching of the Bhagavad Gita provides another example of how the pure devotees give authority to the scriptures. The more than 200 years before Srila Prabhupada came to the West with Bhagavad Gita as it is, the Bhagavad Gita had been known in Western countries as the sacred gospel of the Hindus. And yet no one had become a devotee of Lord Krishna from reading Gita, although Lord Krishna teaches surrender to him as the goal of the Gita. But through his realized translations and purports, Srila Prabhupada brought life to the text of Bhagavad Gita. And now thousands of non-Hindus throughout the world are recognizing Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God and becoming his sincere devotees. Nari will now explain why saintly persons are so auspicious and influential. So, this is showing now the devotees who are single-minded, surrendered, experience rasa, have Krishna in their hearts, how to recognize them and what their influence is. Hare Krishna, would anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, this is Gail.
Hare Krishna, Grandi, you have a question?
Not really. I couldn't understand so well distractions here, but
okay.
I was just wondering, actually, though. You know, this class and last class, you were saying how the audience, you know, when you were preaching at the Lotus Festival, by the feedback you got, you could understand that they got it, you know, even those who are like not like devotees. You said they got it, you know. I was wondering what was it that they got that you're happy about that they got, you know?
Well, that the presentation was reasonable. That the concept of Krishna is a reasonable conception of divinity. And it's so far out, this blue boy, and, you know, describing him and so many things, that he's a reasonable conception of divinity. I think they got that. And I got feedback like that. And I tried to put it in what?
It was reasonable that... What was reasonable? That he's blue? What? I don't know. What was reasonable to them?
Reasonable that this is the absolute reality. Krishna and Krishna's devotees, that this is the vision of the absolute reality. Yeah, that it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That the spiritual world is a world where the absolute truth is a person who has loving relationships.
Right, and it may be Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I felt that. Not that they would say, you know, I'm convinced, but when they would think about it. There were a lot of now, let me see the lectures that you have to catch. Were you at Janmashtami?
No.
Okay, I gave a lecture on Krishna's birth. Spontaneous. They'd even tell me that I was going to give a lecture. And then I did the Brahmavi Mohan Leela on the Lotus Festival. Were you at the Lotus Festival?
Yes.
Okay, so you got that one. And the yesterday's lecture. Okay, they're all going to be posted. Okay. Hare Krishna. Okay. Before I sign off, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Bajrade.
Jai Bajrade. Hare Krishna. Thank you. It was great to see you and your whole family at the Lotus Festival. That was great.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. The great sentence.
Who's this?
Amiya.
Oh, Hare Krishna. Okay. So your guests come tomorrow, huh?
They come on Friday late. They get into
Friday,
JFK on Friday.
Okay, that's nice. So they can meet me
at the Yoga Maya
Center. Oh,
at
Kirtan. No, Saturday is the Kirtan.
Oh, that's right.
At the Bhakti Center.
Okay. Yeah.
So if they want to go.
Oh,
so they may want
to
see the city.
Great.
Yes. Yeah, so if they want to come there, you can look at the schedule, see who's doing kirtan, you know, let them know. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. Hare Krishna.